Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day to come together, your gathered people. We thank you for the chance to encourage the hearts of one another, but also, Lord, we pray that you would encourage our hearts as well. For Lord, you're the reason that we're here. You're the reason that you've pulled us together. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We pray that you would, man, you would just move in us in such a way that we would be different people, that this would be more than just a service, more than just a message, more than just prayers that we prayed, we saw on a screen, but that you would reorient our hearts to you. Your word calls us new creations. And sometimes we don't feel very new. But Lord, help us to know and trust that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are not done. Help us now focus. Help us to be open. We pray for those who couldn't be here today. We pray that your spirit would just encourage them as well and you would draw them closer to you every step of the way. And for those of us gathered, Lord, may we again, because of you and your grace, shine brighter in the darkness of the world. May they know you better because of our love and your love working through us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Scriptures from 1 Peter. Just a hint. Peter wrote it. Just to kind of get you on that. He says, he's talking to the church, to us, by the way. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." This is the word of the Lord. Started a new series this last week on holiness. What does holy mean? And I ended, if you will, with this thought, and I believe it's a truth, that the way to God is through grace. It's nothing we do, nothing we can earn. It's just a gift from him. But the way to walk with him is through obedience. And I talked about how we sometimes get that mixed up. We kind of try to figure if we walk more obediently, then we can have that relationship with God. But he says, I've already taken care of it. I love you through my own very blood. And so what is holiness really about then? If holiness is so much more than just a type of music, than even a movement, but that holiness is about our relationship. It's fundamentally about the presence of God being restored in our lives, in your relationships with other people, and in the world. See, holiness sometimes is kind of relegated to the professionals, the religious, those who wear robes. And so today, I'm taking it off because I'm saying it's not about that. Holiness is for ordinary people, for everybody. Every person that knows Jesus is called to be holy. Now, how can that be? Isn't it more? Aren't we supposed to act in a certain way? Aren't we supposed to behave in a certain way? Holiness is about our response to God himself, not merely keeping a list of do's and don'ts, not merely keeping a list of rules or codes. It's bigger than that. It's about the presence of God in our lives, in any situation, in every situation. And so, how does this kind of roll out? It begins, if you will, with the grand story that God's been telling. The story that began in really, really good news. It was so good that God said it was good. In fact, he even said it was very good. And in his creation, it was beautiful. And he said, I'm making you into my image, which is crazy because he invites us into the story when he breathes life into us. God's starting to write us, if you will, into the story. But as soon as if you will, we turn the page, Adam, the first humanity, if you will, he rebels. and bring sin into the world. And because of that, he is exiled, he and Eve. God's presence lost. That's the big idea. When they're taken out of Eden, God's presence is not with them. They don't know this God intimately anymore. They don't have these quiet walks. They don't enjoy this fellowship. There is brokenness. And we see quickly after Genesis 2, in Genesis 3 through 11, you see over and over again just the spiral out of all the good that God created in creation. It's just out of control. I mean, so much so that brother's killing brother. And it's just awful. And so we have this kind of, where is God going with this? Is God need a plan B? Did he underestimate the freedom he gave people? And if you will, the idea of this sin. Sin is something that I know many of us have heard about, maybe even many of us have unfortunately felt horrible about. But sin is so much more than just something we've done wrong or something that we've done against God or someone else. Sin is fundamentally relational. Think about that. How sin has broken relationships with you and the Lord. How sin has broken relationships with you and your family, your friends, your coworkers. It's more than wrong deeds we commit. Sin is when we commit wrong against our community. It's embedded in our community, advancing God's rule and reign. That when we sin, the world doesn't know Jesus better. They don't understand the story that they're in. They don't understand how God has entered into the story and said, I am enough. And so Jesus goes to restore everything. So we have, if you will, this grand story and the sin that breaks everything down. And then Jesus enters stage left. He was the ultimate invasion of God's presence. You ever thought about how holiness is really about God's presence? God's presence in the world. If you want to have a real long Bible study, which I know many of you are like, oh, sign me up. Just open Leviticus. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, okay, third book. There we go. In the Old Testament, I like to say part one. Open up to Leviticus and just start reading. And you're going to find this incredible, very detailed list of how he wants his, if you will, sanctuary, his place of dwelling to be. It had to be, I mean, so many, so the length, the height, the width, all the different aspects of it, the adornments, it was beautiful. And yet, that was the place God was, if you will, relegated. He was there. He was stuck. But Jesus, again, the ultimate invasion of God's presence in the world, more than a personal transaction between ourselves and him, that Jesus wants to restore us and the world. And here's the crazy part. He does it through the church. Now, some of you are here because you love your family, and they said, would you come? Or you love your friends, and they said, would you come? And you said, okay, sure. Why wouldn't I want to get up early on a Sunday morning? Why wouldn't I? The church is more than just a service. The church is more than just going through the motions and doing all the right things, then putting on the bow tie and looking nice and doing the best you can. This is all I got, by the way, folks. This is as good as it gets. But the reality is, he doesn't care if I have a bow tie on. He doesn't care what you're wearing. He wants our hearts. He wants us so much more than what we have a clue about. It's so difficult sometimes. His presence, he wants his presence to be so indwelt in his gathering of people, also known as the church. See, it's amazing. Some lessons we learn as a child, and we don't necessarily know if they're really true later. Talking with my youngest this last week, we're talking about the church, and she's like, oh, we're going to church. I said, we're going to a church service, honey. I know, she's stuck married, being a daughter of a pastor. I'm like, I'm not trying to mince words, obviously, with her, but I'm trying to really be clear. I said, we're not going to church. We're going to a church service. I said, you and me and the family that's there, we are the church. And she's kind of like, huh? No joke. She's like, sitting in the back seat, and we're driving down. She's like, I'm not, and she said, I don't understand, Dad. I gotta think about that. I said, that's okay. But we are His church. His presence, God's presence, is best experienced in the gathered people of Him. It requires that we are rightly related to the church. Church is not just this thing, again, we go to on Sundays. It's not just this, it's not about, I can experience God's presence anywhere in the world, and I don't need the local church. We're missing so much here. When we have experienced that, when we have maybe felt that, or we've heard people talk about that, understand, it's because they probably have had a really bad church experience, option A. Option B, if they didn't have a bad church experience, they just don't see how relevant it is. I mean, come on. 3,000-year-old book, and some parts of it. 66 authors. It's more of a library than a book. How does that relate to me in 2018? And yet, strangely, it does. It gives us insight. It gives us hope. Not for information to consider, but for direction of how to live. Because He made us. He knows who we are. He knows all about us. How do we demonstrate to a world that is so broken of His presence and what new creation looks like? Well, we have to be oriented to God's love. We have to be changed, if you will, again, from the inside out. It takes, if you will, a heart transplant, that there's a change within, and it's a gift. It's a gift that He gives us. Last week I talked about it's a gift that all we have to do is receive it. And the gift to have this reorientation or this orientation is a grace from Him. That it's nothing we have to worry about. It's nothing we have to try harder on. It's about fully surrendering. I put in your bulletin 100%. God loves you too much to just take 99 or just get one. He wants all of you from head to toe. Now again, we sometimes look in the mirror and shake our heads and go, I don't know if God really knows what He wants. Because I'm looking at what I got. But He sees His precious child. He sees the one that He made in His image. He sees the one that He breathed life into. And He says, I'm not done. It's not that reoriented people don't sin, but sin has become our enemy. It's not our secret lover anymore. So we need to be oriented, and we need to be reoriented by God's love. It's a gift again. And it's just one of those things we have to fully surrender. So I get a call or text this morning, and this is the church. I get a call from Mr. Steve Sill. Some of you know him. Longtime servant and leader here at All Villages. If you don't know him, yes, I'm sorry, but he's a great guy. You should get to know him. Steve texts me. He says, I'm so sorry to bother you. I know you're probably busy this morning, but... Yesterday, my dad fell. We had to take him to the hospital. We got him back home. We think we're in a good place, or we thought we were in a good place, and then I got a call this morning. He fell again. We're not going to make church. That's life. Not pretty. Accidents happen. But I know the church that he's connected with, the church, us, we'll reach out to him. We'll keep praying for him. We'll lift up the family. We'll lift up his father. And wisdom, where do we go next? What do they do next? I run into a friend who didn't want to bring things down. You know those friends. In fact, you've been that way too at times. Bad news. Things are not well at home. Things are not well maybe at the workplace. Whatever it may be, and you don't know, where do I share this? I got to relieve this burden. I know I need to tell someone, but where do I do it? And she goes, I'm sorry to bring it down. I said, what's going on? She goes, remember Alan? Happened to be a softball player that I played with a few years ago. Young gentleman in early mid-20s. Stopped playing as much because he became a father. Crazy how that does that. But we'd stay in contact every now and again. I'd run into him. And he said, oh, I have a second child now. She's a little baby girl, Raylan. She's just wonderful. I said, you speak my language. I know your first was a boy, and I know you'll love your boy, but I'll tell you, my daughters have my heart. I said, I feel for you. And he's like, oh, she's just awesome. I said, I'm so happy for you. This is several weeks ago. And so this friend of ours, mutual friend, says, Raylan just died this morning. I said, what? 8 weeks old. Just ain't right. They don't know what happened. They know that she stopped breathing when they found her in the morning. She wasn't breathing. How do we work through that? How do we, as holy people, walk with that? It's not about having any easy answers. There's no easy answers. Death is real. Tragedy is real. Ask our good friends and family in Puerto Rico. Talk to those that have lost so much. How do we walk in holiness there? How do we carry? How do we go with God's presence there? See, again, it's not about having the answers. It's not about me telling them, hey, God needed another baby in heaven. That is horrible theology. That is not our scriptures. And yet, I felt compelled to tell them that. I said, I hurt for you. I will be telling my church about this. We will be praying for you. I said, I just want you to know, we'll be there any way you'll let us. There's some of those deep, broken wounds. Coming to a service doesn't make it better. Just taking a moment and reminding yourself of all the positive things isn't good enough. That's where we get on our knees, we plead out to God. Say, God, would you please, in your grace and in your mercy, meet them where they're at. Be enough for them. They need it. We need it. God is still good. That's just not me trying to muster up faith. That little eight-week-old child was still a precious and is still a precious daughter of his too. And his parents, Alan and Brianna, precious children to God as well. Isn't it interesting how maybe our father who lost a child might know how to comfort a family who lost a child as well? So I ask you, it's not about having it all together, but where are you when it comes to having your heart oriented or reoriented? That maybe you've just thought it was this thing I went to on Sundays, or this thing that people went to, or this crutch that people had, but that there's actually a power that God gives us to make it through the day. Every one of us will experience loss and grief. That's one of the crazy mysteries of how precious life is, because we know every day is a gift. I was talking to one of our lovely family partners here at the church last night. We were celebrating a wonderful woman. I'll be happy to show you pictures next week to embarrass her when she's here. But 80 years old, or 80 years young if you'd like. And I'm like, they pulled out all the stops. It was a beautiful celebration. And I just was like, man, I hope my 80th is half as good as this. Is nice, man. This is great. Chance to see family, friends, to hear stories, to celebrate. I'm leaning over to one of our family partners. I said, so what are you going to do for your next birthday, which is going to be her 90th? And I said, so you can do something like this? And she's like, probably not. No, I mean, this is nice, but I don't know about, you know. We started just talking. And here I am, 42 years, again, anyone under 25, I'm in old category, right? I mean, we got a couple youth over here. I'm not going to point you out, but you guys know. Yeah, you're an old guy. You're the guy behind the pulpit. But my soon-to-be 90-year-old family member, my sister, God bless her, 42 years old. She's got to be thinking, what a kid. What does he know? And yet, I know her heart. Holiness is not about titles. Holiness is not about age. Holiness is not about having it all together. Holiness is about your heart and the presence of God sitting upon it. That when people meet you, they see him. Just craziness. Our God is such a crazy, amazing, risky, wonderful God. And so I go back to the text. Peter says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, pay attention to your life. Pay attention to where God has placed you. Pay attention so that others may know of his love, so that when the storms of life come, they know who to call. And I pray you have the courage to pray for them. I pray you have the courage to give them hope. I pray you have the courage to maybe even weep and mourn with them. Because God has called us to go and to be, not pretend. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, folks, Jesus says this, I will build my church. The church was his idea, not any person's. I will build my church. The church, again, is God's missional outpost. The church is to be, again, God's presence now located in the gathering people of God. I hope that we can change the view of many people of the church being irrelevant, being broken, being a place where just hypocrites go. What if we truly surrendered everything to the Lord? Jesus said it like this, when two or three are gathered, I am there. We are his people, called to be so much more than just getting the sin out. If we thought about sin as just avoiding all the bad things, we'd only be halfway holy. Because sin, again, is not just about not doing the wrong things, but about the fruit we produce. See, holiness is not just about the deeds we do, but about what is our life producing. We have oranges, we have citrus in our area. We're known for it around the world. Indian River citrus. Citrus trees produce citrus. We know their fruit. What do Christians produce? What are we known for? Are we known more for what we're against or what God's for and how much he loves us? Again, faith and fruit, when they meet and are wed, that's what that 100% is all about. And so I ask you these two questions. Do you need to be oriented to his love with the Holy Spirit in the church? Here's all you have to do. Surrender all. Yes, that is a hard teaching. What does it mean? I mean, come on. What is it? What's he going to do? I mean, where's he going to take me? Is he going to ask for too much? Do you need to be reoriented? A full relationship all of your life, mind, body, and spirit. Here's what you need to do. Surrender all. It's amazing. That just is something that Jesus keeps challenging us to do. When we fully surrender, when we just lay everything down and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. That's when people will see Jesus most. Not when we pretend, not when we have just it all together, not when we just know what to say, but when our hearts are broken for what breaks the heart of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you. I thank you so much for us, your church, all villages. I pray for us as a church family that we would continue to be light and love, that we would fully surrender to you, all of us, that we would be a flourishing church, that others may come to know your presence by the gathered people of God. Lord, I thank you for our guests. It took a lot of courage for them to come here. It was not something that just probably something they wanted to do, most of them. But I pray that you continue to touch their hearts and change them from the inside out. May they see how it's so much more than just a personal transaction between them and your son Jesus. What about how you want to share your presence with the whole world and give them a picture of what new creation looks like? When the church gets it right, Lord, there's nothing more beautiful. But Lord, how many of us have seen and maybe been a part of how the church missed it entirely? Have mercy and forgive us, I pray. May we understand how holiness is so relational. It's embedded in our community, and it's about you changing our world. But Lord, we have to have the change happen in us first. Change from the inside out. We lift up our brother and sister churches and ask that they too would be flourishing. We pray for your church universal around the world and ask that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. And Lord, for those of us that are so broken right now, so lost, so hurting, we don't know how to even, maybe even have enough faith to tie our shoes. May we know to the core of who we are that you meet us right where we're at. And your grace is sufficient. We lift up the Sill family. We lift up Alan, Brianna, little baby Raylan. We ask that you would meet them in a way, in the only way, that they may move forward, not forgetting, but always, always cherishing their daughter. And may they count their blessings too, with their son and with each other. Help them to forgive where forgiveness is needed. Help them to trust, Lord, how to move forward. And for the brokenness that's represented again in our community here, we pray, bring healing, bring wholeness. Help us, Lord. We cannot do it on our own. We pray for the leadership of our country and the world. We pray that you would have favor, that you would melt hard hearts, that you would help raise up leaders after your own heart, that you would use them for your glory. Empower them to be the people you created them to be. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son Jesus, who encouraged his disciples to call you Papa, to call you Daddy, when he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."